excited to be here today in Chicago. So I'm Chris Marino, and I work for American Express, and I'm excited to share a campaign with you guys that we recently worked on, which I will go as far as to say is probably one of the best campaigns that I had the privilege to be a part of. And my team is very focused on acquisition, right? So really lower funnel conversions. But this campaign really gave us the opportunity to identify what are the right signals to drive a conversion, and how do you build a more qualified audience pool over time? So we'll go through some of those details. So first I want to start with a little bit of an external perspective. As we approached this campaign, there were a couple of things that we were hoping to solve for. So first, we took a look at the marketplace, both from a traditional competitor perspective and from a non-traditional competitor perspective. And what we found is the marketplace was very cluttered. And more often than not, the content was the same, right? So there was really a big opportunity for us to break through. The second is audience trust. Probably one of the most important things that you can think about when you develop a campaign, but audience trust is fragile, and you need to be able to demonstrate value to really earn that audience's trust. What you can't do is think about short-term sales pitches, short-term solutions that are more focused on solving for your business versus solving for a customer need. And last but not least, having a great product today is just simply not enough. You need to be able to articulate why is that product important to your audience and what need is that solving for them. So this gave us a really kind of interesting space to play in. And what I hope you walk away from this presentation with are really five things, right? Five tenets, five principles that I hope you can apply to future campaigns that can help improve the efficacy of those campaigns. So first and foremost, you have to think about how do you future-proof your business, right? The channels that are your strongest performers today might not necessarily be your strongest performers tomorrow. And so really thinking about how are you selling in an enterprise test and learn agenda that gives you the opportunity to future-proof your business. The second piece is really how are you evolving your messaging beyond just talking about your product as a commodity and really beginning to start to talk about your product as the value that it offers, the value it delivers. Third, I think this is one of the most important principles in any campaign. How are we connecting with our audience through a need and in a way that they can relate to? Critically important, right? Fourth, your brand's cornerstone. We all have great brands in the room. Our brands are known for certain things. We have certain attributes that are in the DNA of our brand. And what's important as you're developing a campaign is ensuring that you're bringing those attributes to life. And then last but not least, measurement is always critical, right? To be able to sell in a campaign, to get the investment that you need to launch a campaign, you need to be able to present a rigorous approach to measurement. And then at the end of that campaign, you do need to be able to identify what does success look like, and was this campaign a success, and why would we continue to test? So those are the five principles, and I'm going to go through them in more depth, and then I'll recap them at the end. So I like to start with the results, because I think that's important. So this campaign was very successful, fortunately. And I think there were a couple of things that really made it successful. So when you look at this slide, you'll notice that these are not acquisition metrics. What my team is usually measuring is how many new customers are we bringing in, how much are those customers spending, and what is the profitability of those customers to American Express. These metrics are a lot more focused on how are we identifying the right signals that show intent and education that ultimately lead to a conversion. And there were a couple of ways that we thought about measuring this. The first was, are our ads driving lifts in site traffic? So are people seeing an ad? Are they clicking on that ad? And then are they going and learning more on the website? The second piece is retargeting pool. I think this is a really important one. I'd go as far as to say this is the most important metric in the presentation and in the campaign. You can only target audiences from a lower funnel perspective so many times, right? Like, we all probably have very high frequencies. We're all hitting them with the same message. But if you're not reaching a net new audience, you have a challenge, right? And so growing our retargeting pool really allowed us to reach people who were not even thinking about American Express as a solution for their business. And then it gave us the opportunity to have them start thinking about it and deliver and continue on the messages that we had started to share. Third, lifts in branded search, very similar to site traffic. Are we bidding on the right keywords that are aligned with this campaign strategy? And are these driving increased results? And then last but not least, product consideration, right? A very difficult metric to move. I think it's we can all say that this can take years to change this metric. We had to do it in a condensed period of time. But I do think it's important that this one is one to watch and one to think about, just because it does take quite some time. But there are really great surveys that you can introduce into digital after someone is exposed to an ad to get a read on things like this. So I want to show you the marketplace and what we started to think about as we were solving for this problem. And when you look at this slide, it's interesting because from a competitive perspective and also from an American Express perspective, we were all showing up in a very similar way. Similar imagery, similar photography, similar visuals. And most importantly, the message is all centered around points. It's a very short-term solve, right? So bringing in customers, giving them a points offer, and what that really leads to is that really leads to not high quality customers, right? We want to bring customers into the American Express franchise who we can have a long standing relationship with, right? They're going to be a valued customer. They're not just in it to come in for the points and then a trite and then go to a new card. So we felt that this was what I would call a sea of sameness. And our opportunity was, how do we break through this sea of sameness with a fundamentally different approach to visuals, but also a fundamentally different approach to messaging? And we were fortunate because we had a really great new brand platform in market. American Express is a 168-year-old company, and it is constantly a company that has reinvented itself. We started out as a freight moving company, and if you think about what our old CEO, Ken Chenault, used to say, he used to say, we want to be the company that is going to put ourselves out of business, right? So really fostering that innovation mindset. And from a brand perspective, we had the opportunity to refresh our brand this year, and what that allowed us to do was really start talking to customers through a hybrid approach. I think previously, we were very focused on messaging to consumers and business owners and merchants, but we really wanted to start thinking about, as people are starting to live a more hybrid lifestyle where work and life are blended, how do we start thinking about messaging to one person, right, who's living both these lifestyles, and how are we bringing this idea of powerful backing to life? Right? There are many challenges in business. American Express is here to support you through that, right? So this theme of powerful backing is going to be really important as I go through the presentation. And for us, I think the opportunity was, we had this brand platform in market. I'm going to go to the next slide. We had this brand platform in market, but what wasn't clear was, okay, what does powerful backing actually mean to me as a business owner? And why is that important? And so when you look at the funnel, I think, you know, we as marketers all know the funnel is not as linear as we would like it to be, right? People are coming in at various different stages of awareness or an understanding of a business or a product. But what is important is hitting them with the right message at the right time in the right channel. And so when you do dissect the funnel, what I think is important to understand is not the linear nature of it, but what are the different mindsets that people are looking to understand as they go through this journey. So historically, I think American Express, very strong at upper funnel marketing, right? Brand values. We're great at raising awareness. There's probably very few people, if any people in this room, who don't know who American Express is, right? Strong awareness. The bottom of the funnel is where my team has historically focused, which is lower funnel acquisition. We are an acquisition engine, right? We're constantly bringing in new customers. And historically, we've done that through products and points offerings, right? But what where we identified an opportunity was in the middle of the funnel, right? How do we drive consideration for our products before people are ready to make a purchase? And how do we do so through emotional and rational value? And so this really led us to our campaign and the campaign platform. And there were two things that we thought about as we figured out what was the right platform for this campaign. The first was a cultural tension. Business is always going to be stressful, right? 61% of business owners are stressed about their business, right? They're concerned that they are not going to stay open. They're not going to be in business, right? How do they identify the right partner that's going to help them alleviate some of that stress and some of that concern? And then you think about the brand truth that I talked about, which is American Express provides the powerful backing that your business needs to thrive. And so when you think about those two areas, our opportunity and our campaign was see business differently, right? Where others see problems with American Express, you see opportunities. So turning challenges into opportunities was the space that we wanted to play in. And I'll talk a little bit now about how we brought that to life. So we wanted to take a multi-channel approach. What I think is important from a marketing perspective is consistency. Thinking about 360-degree marketing, right? No matter where your audience is consuming information, you should be showing up in that channel with a relevant, contextually relevant, and consistent message so they understand the brand values no matter where they're engaging, right? What I think was important about this particular approach was we did an affinity analysis to understand where were small to mid-sized business decision makers spending their time, where did we already have a presence, and where were there some potential gaps within that presence. And what we identified was as consumer media habits begin to shift into new channels like connected TV and audio, there was an opportunity for us to enter those channels. And these are new to us from a measurement perspective, from a testing perspective. And so it is a risk that we took, but it's a successful risk, right? And I think it gave us a couple of other opportunities from a measurement perspective as well. So now I want to talk about each channel and what that channel offers from a messaging strategy standpoint. The first is social. I think we're all, you know, Social Media Strategy Summit, we're all social marketers. There are pros and cons to the space. I'd say the con is it's very difficult to connect with customers in 3 seconds, right? It's a very fast-paced environment. You have little time to tell a story, and you really need to kind of front-load your message to that first 3 seconds to be able to capture someone's attention. Important channel, but it doesn't give us everything that we need to tell a story. The second piece is digital, right? When you think about a digital banner, it's a very cluttered environment. And more often than not, that message can really only focus on what is the action that we want people to take. And that is usually the center or the focus of that channel. What OTT or connected TV and audio offered was a new way to tell a story. So when you think about OTT, it's really a targeted, lean back environment where people are very focused and very captive and open to that storytelling environment, right? Great opportunity for us, great opportunity for content to really have a meaningful dialogue with our audience. And then the second is audio. So there are some really great podcasts out there. So my favorite example is How I Built This. What, probably my favorite podcast. And it talks a lot about, for example, a company like Airbnb and what were the ups and downs that they faced as a company as they built that brand. And from an American Express perspective, we decided to sponsor that podcast. Very contextually relevant. You have a lot of business owners tuning into that podcast, looking to understand how successful companies went about these challenges, went about these opportunities, and ensuring that we're showing up from a pre-roll or mid-roll perspective is really important, right? Contextually relevant environment, again, that gives us that 15 to 30 seconds to have a more meaningful connection. What these channels also offered outside of just messaging was going back to that tenet of measurement. Each channel allowed us to measure those four key objectives that I talked a little bit about earlier, right? You can't measure everything. You've got to be focused on a couple of things that you believe are really going to move the business. And so as we thought about measurement, we took both a macro and a micro perspective. In terms of the macro side, we really thought about control and expose testing to identify lifts in site traffic and identify lifts in branded search, right? So when you think about those populations, were a population that was exposed to an ad more likely to click to site or use a branded keyword to engage and continue that education with American Express versus that control population, right? So very important, and we think important diagnostics for us. The second is micro, right? So kind of twofold. The first is that metric that I talked a little bit about earlier, which is growth in our retargeting pool. And the way that we thought about this was, how are we doing an analysis of cookies to identify what cookies are currently in our retargeting pool today? And following this campaign, what were new and unique cookies that we now had access to for people who had not previously engaged with us? And then last but not least, product consideration. I think this is much more focused on creative efficacy versus media strategy. Again, a metric that takes a little bit of time to move, but we did this through surveys, right? So you might be in Facebook, you see an ad, you engage with that ad, and then following that ad, you're asked a set of questions, right? Often, what product were you thinking about before? And following this ad, would you consider American Express for a business relationship? The one thing I will say before I move on to the next slide is it's critically important to think about your creative and media strategies as integrated. And more often than not, I see these strategies as competing at different companies, right? Creative and media is working in isolation. And I think what made this campaign so successful was through each step of the journey, we were partnering together. And I'm fortunate because my team owned both ends of those spectrum, right? But with that said, the strategies were designed to complement, not compete with each other. And I think that's what created really strong output. So now let's get on to some of the fun stuff outside of the measurement. So visuals. So I want you guys to think back to that slide that I showed earlier, which was the crowded marketplace, right? All of the same sort of assets, same color palette, same message, not really standing out. And as we sort of briefed our agency to think about responding to this, this was a mood board. So this is not the creative that we actually ended up executing on, but it was meant to kind of inspire us to think about what we could do, what direction we could go in. And these visuals are incredibly striking. They're dynamic. They're going to stop you in your feed, right? And what we hope that they're also going to do is they're going to tell you a story of how you turn those challenges into opportunities. So this was really the creative inspiration that we used to design the campaign. And then I want to talk a little bit about the marketing journey and how I think this is typically done and how I think we flipped it on its head a little bit. So as a marketer, I'm making an ad. There are usually three things that I'm focused on. The first is, what product do I want to sell, right? So really starting with you, starting with the company, not starting with your audience, major problem, right? The second, what would make someone want to buy this? And then the third is, how can I deliver that message? Let's make an ad, right? Now I'm going to show you some examples where we're going to flip that equation and show you some creative and ultimately help you understand what is the output when you start to think about the customer first. So this is an example of how we took commodity messaging and really thought about, how do you elevate messaging from commodities to value, right? So this is there's going to be a formulaic approach to how we do this creative through each asset, but we're going to start with that cultural tension of business owners and the theme of stress, right? Business owners often wear a lot of hats, right? They have little time to pay. They're worried about getting to that next payment. And this is really flipping that equation to say, when you're partnering with American Express, you don't need to worry about that short-term payment, because we're going to be a payments partner that's here for you for the long term, right? And now I'm going to show you a couple of other examples, and each one is going to follow this sort of same approach, and then we're going to show you an ad within the context of where we ran that ad. So this example is about business travel. So I'm sure many of us here are business travelers. It is often very stressful and inconvenient. I ripped my blazer last night. I woke up this morning. I was like, wow, I have to get on stage and have a ripped blazer. That's devastating. Hate business travel, right? Or I think about my flight yesterday. I'm leaving today. My flight went from a 3 o'clock flight getting into New York at 5:30 to a 3 o'clock flight going into Charlotte, landing at 7 o'clock, and then getting into New York at 10 o'clock, right? It's stressful when you have a lot of things to do. Things happen. And so the second piece is, what do you want when you are traveling? I want a quiet environment away from the clutter in the airport that gives me the opportunity to get work done or to relax, right? And then we thought about, okay, what are the assets that American Express has that can deliver on that? And so we thought about the Centurion Lounge, right? I hope some of you have been in those lounges. They're usually really great experiences for Platinum and Centurion card holders. And what we wanted customers to take away from that was, running your business while traveling doesn't need to be stressful. And now I'm going to show you an example of that. So hopefully a fun ad. I think they're all really dynamic. I mean, they were certainly a lot of fun to shoot. And what I will say is, one of the things that you'll notice about the difference between the ad before and this ad was, another aspect to testing that we wanted to think about was multi-card assets versus one card, right? And so what works better? Now, when you're thinking, you know, American Express is a bank holding company, right? It is incredibly challenging to get marketing out the door because of the regulatory scrutiny that marketing goes through before you can get it to market, right? And so we thought about a couple of different things. I think first and foremost, you got to bring your partners along on the journey. Compliance, legal, product. They really have to understand, what is it that you're trying to accomplish? What is your competitive set focused on? And why is this important to future growth from a company perspective? And when you think about multi-card versus single card, multi-card gives you more flexibility because you can talk about, what are the benefits that three products offer, right? Versus a single card asset, where you can really only talk about what is the benefit that product offers, which allows you to be harder hitting, but it does give you a little bit less flexibility. And interestingly, I thought the single card, I was like, this is a home run for us. This is what's going to perform better. Actually, it was the multi-card that performed better, surprisingly. I think that just goes back to audience, right? Audiences want choices. and those multi-card assets really offer choice. So I'm going to go into another example. This example goes back to getting in the mind of a small to mid-sized business decision maker, right? You're wearing many hats. You are the CEO. You are the CFO. You are the CPO. You're doing everything for the company, right? And the cultural tension here that we're trying to solve for is you've got too little time to manage your finances on a day-to-day basis. And when you think about adding more time with the financial services product that you need to manage, that's something that you're not interested in, right? And as we think about not only product development, but also creative, we want to make sure that we're solving for those needs. And so this is the first example where we're going to introduce the concept of points, but it's not going to be points from an offer perspective. It's going to be points from how are we automating the top two categories where you're spending your money and giving you 4x the points on that without you having to spend any time managing the program, right? So I love this ad. It was super fun. When we're thinking about like how do you tell a story of multitasking in a short period of time, it's kind of tough, right? And I love this idea that the agency came up with a conveyor belt. And this woman, it was actually quite hilarious watching her do these takes. I mean, this poor woman probably did about 1,000 takes. And each time she had to go through, like, first she was just getting herself acclimated to how do you even handle this. And I think she had to eat at least 1,000 grape tomatoes because each time she would have to do that. And I've never seen someone so happy about doing that, so it was great. I love to see the passion in different industries. But I thought this was just a really fun execution and way of telling that story in a short period of time in a way that hopefully resonates emotionally. So I want to ask you guys a question. What is the one word that comes to mind when you think about American Express? Feel free to shout it out. Don't leave me up here alone in my broke jacket. Service. Reliable. Anything else? Prestige. Okay, great. That'll do. So I'm glad that someone said service because we feel the same way. So we believe... This is two conferences in a row now, so it's a good word. I'm glad it resonates with people. So from an American Express perspective, we're really a services company, right? And under Ken Chenault, our mission was really to become the world's most respected financial services company. Service is in the DNA of our company. And when you think about the principles that I shared earlier, this is really that cornerstone offering. This is what we stand for. This is what differentiates ourselves from the competition. So I'm going to show you one more example, and then I'll talk a little bit about that example. So as a business owner, and in general, we all hope that things don't go wrong, right? But obviously that's not realistic. I hope that I would never rip my jacket today, but that happened, right? And the important thing to realize is when there are problems, when there are things that occurs, having the right partner to provide backing is critical. And so in this example, I'm a business owner. I need to get shipments to customers on time. And if I don't get shipments to customers on time, not only does that risk my NPS, not only does that risk the reputation of my brand, but the reality is it's very costly. And so having the opportunity to get on the phone and call American Express, and hopefully some of you have American Express cards, but more importantly, hopefully some of you have engaged with the customer service teams who are just incredibly passionate and really do go the extra mile to help you in times of need, because that's what's important to us. It's that lifetime value, that lifetime relationship. And in this example, one of the ways that we thought about shipping was we called that character the box monster or Shippy, and we used CGI to develop it. And in most cases, for a business owner, that would be very scary, right? Your shipments aren't going to make it there. We used this example to show that the business owner was actually entirely unfazed by this shipments crisis because American Express was providing the powerful backing that their business needed to thrive. So a couple of more slides. I think measuring on the ecosystem is very important. When we went on this shoot, from a content perspective, what I thought was really important was in 2 days, we needed to make sure that we capitalize on every second that we were there. Not just from a video perspective, but also from a photo perspective. Because what I think is important is often a lot of campaigns don't connect. And so in this example, watching an ad and then going to a website that doesn't visually continue on that journey, that doesn't have the same messaging, that is very word heavy, that's not an ideal experience from a customer perspective, right? And so really thinking about how did we continue that journey and how did we ensure that from ad to website, you were having the same experience through visuals, through messaging, and really complimenting you to learn more once you did get there. And then from a messaging perspective, a lot of what I've talked about, right, ensuring that you have the right channels, that you can measure across the entire ecosystem. And once someone gets to the website, we will have an opportunity to retarget them, right, which is important. But what I hope is more important is we are going to retarget customers with an ad when they're really ready for that ad because they've really been primed with the message on why is this product differentiated. So a couple of takeaways, and I really shared these in the beginning, but I want to make sure I recap. First, future-proofing your business, right? It's a scary thought to enter into new channels, and admittedly, I'm not going to lie, when I went on this journey, I'd never worked in OTT. Never worked in audio, right? I had run social media strategy before this job, which was much more of a brand focus. Acquisition was new to me, but I knew it was important in the long term to fundamentally change the way that we were going to market because I didn't think the approach was sustainable. And from a marketing perspective and from a leadership perspective, I believe it's critically important that you surround yourself with people who know more than you. Right? It shouldn't just be you. It does take a village to do some of this type of work. So that's one. The second is really evolving your messages from commodity to value. To do that, you really have to understand what that value looks like. And then going to the third point, you really have to understand what is important to your audience, what is important to your customer, and what are some of the challenges, that they're facing on a day-to-day basis that your product or service can help to alleviate. The fourth, keeping your brand's cornerstone alive. So for us, that was really service. And service hopefully came through in every example, but then in one more so in particular because that was a service value prop ad. So thinking about how do you do that because audiences love who you are as a brand often. You don't want to fundamentally change that. You really want to complement that. And then last, measuring success, right? It was very difficult to get money for this campaign because the numbers on the screen weren't revenue, but we were able to do that through this exciting kind of like firsts of like we're going to be one of the first teams in this building to test into this channel, but also in the industry. And then second, we believe that this is going to lead to long-term sustainable growth, right? And now, because we had so much success with the first campaign, we're now thinking about what can a phase two look like. And what I'm interested in from a phase two perspective is people-based marketing. And how do we use people-based marketing as we go on this journey to be able to connect our mid-funnel ads and some of these sort of site traffic brand lift metrics all the way through to revenue. So that's sort of the presentation. I am not going to take questions because I think I'm out of time. What I will say is if you have any questions, let me know. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'll be here for maybe another 20, 30 minutes before I head out back to New York. More than open to that. And then I do want to thank a couple of people. So one, I want to thank Social Media Strategy Summit for having me here and letting me talk for 40 minutes. Very much appreciated. I also want to thank them for promoting me to EVP in the book. That was exciting. Best part of my day. The second is I want to thank my team. You know, these campaigns, it's not just me, right? There is a lot of people that are involved in this, and there are a lot of different types of work that goes into it. So getting these assets approved is certainly not a glamorous job, but without the team, you're not going to be there. And so they played a critically important part in the development of this campaign, in pushing us all into places where we were uncomfortable, but we were growing, and they really brought it to life. The third is there are two agencies that we worked with, and I think that's important. So one, we worked with Ogilvy from a creative perspective. I think they did a really great job at really hitting the brief out of the park. And as marketers, I think the brief is the most important part of any campaign. Because if you don't get it right in the brief, you are not going to get it right in execution. So having an airtight brief is critically important. And last, I want to thank the Kepler Group, who led our media strategy in partnership with us. So I hope you guys enjoyed the presentation. I hope you walked away with five tips that will be really helpful for you and your business. And I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. Thank you for the time.
Are you open, if we have questions, are you open to taking a few?
I can take one or two questions. I will say, from a PR perspective, I might not be able to answer all the questions. So I will do my best.
You can be around afterwards to, yes, to chat. But did anyone want a question? Okay, let me bring you the mic so we can hear you.
Thanks. Just being in a pretty regulated industry, how do you stay ahead of innovations and things like that in the digital space?
Yeah, totally. I think from my team's perspective, what I ask them to do on a monthly basis is put together competitive audits. And I think I ask them to do that for traditional and non-traditional competitors, because often companies aren't breaking through in the space. There are often other companies who I think are really breaking through. So for example, the companies that I'm inspired by right now that I think are doing really great marketing are Nike, right, with the campaign that they have, or Casper, right, with some of the work that they've done. And I think it's important to take your legal and compliance teams on a monthly basis through work that is out there, because it helps them to understand that other companies are changing their narrative, they're changing the way that they go to market, and we need to do the same to be competitive in both the short and the long term. And so I think it's bringing those partners along on the journey. So when you bring them the campaign, you don't need to educate them on new channels, new products, new ways of doing things. They understand the essence and the core, and they're more receptive. And obviously, look, you're not going to get exactly what you want out the door, but I think you'll get a product that you're really happy with. So I hope that answers the question and is helpful.
Thank you. Yeah.